When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diaries UFC 300 recap. An amazing, historic night, and then the fights happened. What an incredible night at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. So we're going to run through the main card here, breaking down what we saw, obviously culminating with a couple of just unbelievable moments that were absolutely worthy of the spotlight that this night has had. We will start in the middleweight division as Bo Nickel was looking to continue his amazing run through the middleweight division against Cody Brundage. And Nickel got to experience something in this fight he never had before. Sitting on a stool. It was quite the turnaround from what a lot of people expected from a Bo Nickel fight, as Brundage was able to survive into the second round. Make no mistake about it, this entire fight was still controlled by Bo Nickel, and he looked good compared to regular everyday fighters. He just wasn't the absolute buzzsaw that we've seen from him before. This was easily the toughest fight that he had dealt with. Brundage showed that he was able to survive on the ground. He never really showed a willingness to do much other than survive on the ground. Now, he also didn't really have a whole lot of other options, because Bo Nickel was that dude in this fight again. He is still so impressive. The thing that really gets me is the speed that he is able to grapple with is so impressive. Like, I know I've said impressive a lot. He's an impressive fighter. But it's just so much skill that he is able to show. And when things are going quick, it's not scrambled. It is control with the pace, control with the speed that is going on. That is so impressive for, again, it's just so incredible what this kid is able to do. The skill level that he has on the ground and on the feet, he is absolutely fine as well. This doesn't need to be a long breakdown. He is 100% ready for a significant step up. He calls out Anthony Hernandez. Don't hate that fight. Go for it. Whatever. Chimaev kind of called him out online. You're not ready for that level just yet. That will probably be a gigantic fight one day. But the Anthony Hernandez call out, I have no problem with it. Just a note, on this channel on Friday, we will be doing fights to make out of UFC 300. But I imagine that one, it's a pretty easy one that we can just throw right in there. Cody Brundage, sure. Yeah, he's one of 14 fighters with a KO slam in the history of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, so good for you. And he got a big stage and will get other fights in the UFC. Up next, the lightweight title eliminator, as it was Charles Oliveira against Arman Tsarukyan. Thought this fight was over quick. Oliveira locked in the choke, and it was tight, and it felt over. But Tsarukyan's able to pop out. He survives, and I believe he ended the round on top. And then in the second round is really where the game starts to change. He gets on top, and he is landing elbows, just gigantic elbows from the top, annihilating Charles Oliveira, which is, like, one thing I've talked about on this show is how the sport has evolved to the point where if you're like, oh, wow, don't want to enter that guy's guard, you can say that about, like, three people, right? Like, before, Nogueira, you don't want to go to the ground. Even if you're on top, you don't want to get in the ground because he'll just rip your arm off and that's that. But fighters today have advanced to the point where they know what they're doing on the top. So it is significantly more rare to get caught in a submission. And so it is much more worth the risk to get on top and land that ground and pound. But Oliveira is still one of those guys who it is so threatening to be on the back, to have him on his back and you're in his guard. It is still so dangerous. And you saw it in this. The second that Tsarukyan left an arm down there, that arm is getting trapped. And Oliveira was constantly moving and constantly threatening off of his back. It just didn't matter. Tsarukyan was out there leveling this cat with gigantic elbows and excellent top control, excellent ground and pound. And then you get to the third round, and he was just the quicker fighter. He was literally beating Oliveira to the punch. And I think that is where this one really started to go Sorokian's way. But it was the investment he made in that second round with the big ground and pound. and the great job on the ground that I think put a little bit of doubt in the mind of Charles de Bronx and allowed Sorokin to get this edge. But it was that speed in the third round. Oliveira was never able to set punch and go. Set throw and go, whatever. However you want to say it. Sorokin was always getting there first, and Oliveira could never really get into his groove. Until the last about 35 seconds, when they're on the ground, it's a scramble, and Oliveira locks in a Darce choke. Apparently that stole him the round on one judge's scorecard, and you could make a compelling case, I suppose, that Oliveira, like, that was the most threatening moment of the round, so why would you not give it to Charles Oliveira in that spot? It wasn't on mine. I had it 29-28 for Sorokin, but really, really, really impressive win that he was able to survive two chokes from one of the greater grapplers in the history of the UFC and to come away with it with a victory. He is absolutely ready for this step up in competition. He is absolutely deserving of a championship opportunity coming out of this fight. Do I think he is on Islam Makhachev's level? I do not. But I don't know how many are. I do think he'll have a stand-up edge. I certainly think that. And maybe his grappling is enough. Like, if he can survive Oliveira, maybe he can survive Makhachev and land a few good shots on the feet. But I thought the speed that he was able to throw, his timing was great, and his power on the ground really, really impressed me. This was such a great, well-rounded performance from Sorokin. You love to see the growth and improvement in his game at just 27 years old. On the other side, this is really tough for Oliveira, because if that choke does what 99% of the world thought it was going to do and choke Sorokin out and end the fight, then we're talking about, this is a legend, and we have a legendary rematch coming up with Oliveira, who is looking improved, going up against Islam Makhachev, who just whooped that ass in their last fight. So it's one moment, and this entire thing is completely different from that, from how it ends up. And now Oliveira is back to the drawing board, and a lot of people were kind of already wondering if it was over for him. And now a lot more people are going to be wondering that. And then we get to the fight of all ages, Max Holloway against Justin Gaethje for the BMF title, two fighters in the lightweight division, and what a performance by Max Holloway. Holloway had Gaethje off balance from the word go. It's interesting to me that these guys are basically the same height and the same reach, because it didn't feel like that during the fight. It felt like Hathaway was the longer fighter. And I think it is that his stance and the way that he throws and the speed that he throws with, it makes it feel like the guy can't get inside, so he feels bigger and longer than he actually is. Phrasing. Gaethje just was not able to get inside and get those power shots early on. Holloway kept him at length that whole time. And it's partly what I said in the preview, right? Is Holloway is going to be able to volume the shit out of Justin Gaethje. And the volume wasn't even like Calvin Kattar level or anything like that. It was impressive, for sure, better than I could do. But it was not like this mounting volume that was just like, oh my God, how is this guy doing anything? But it kept Gaethje from throwing with the same power as he normally does and bringing the same ferocity, craziness that he normally does. And then, dying seconds of the round, Holloway completely changes this fight. He hits a spinning back kick, and the heel humps Gaethje in the nose and busts that thing up. And it clearly affected Gaethje the rest of the fight. He was touching at it often. And when there was an exchange where it was going high, Gaethje was quicker than he normally is in covering up immediately. And I'm not suggesting any scaredness or anything like that. Like, obviously, two incredible warriors, two of the toughest men to ever walk this planet, and things like that. But I think this clearly affected Gaethje more than just a regular kick would have. There was something that was going on in this area, in the face, that really affected him and had him, like, covering up very, very quickly. And that allowed Holloway some amazing work to the body and really let him put that pressure on and use that volume that he is so famous for to really make Gaethje's night miserable. And it was basically one-way traffic until the fourth. Holloway's striking was incredible. Excellent sense of distance, excellent sense of timing, phenomenal speed. Also, it seemed like, and the finish would certainly speak to this, but it seemed like he had more pop at 155 pounds than we've seen from him in the past. He's never going to be one hitter quitter type of a guy, but he is, that power seemed to amplify a little bit at 155 pounds. Then in the fourth, Gaethje started to find his range a little bit. He started to look a little bit more comfortable. The power was starting to land. He was starting to get the better of these exchanges. And you thought, you know what? Like, it is definitely two rounds, or it's definitely 3-0 for Holloway. And Gaethje wins one round. So if he has a blowaway performance, maybe we get a draw or something. But like, he is in this fight. And in the fifth round, you know, what happens, happens, and then we get to the final 10 seconds. Holloway was winning this round, winning this fight. Holloway draws a line in the middle and just says, let's go. And they just start winging it. And Holloway, with 1 second left, catches Gaethje with what might be the greatest knockout in the history of the sport. And he folds down, hits his head on his own knee, and thumps down to the canvas. He's winning anyway. And then he does that. It is one of the craziest knockouts of all time. One of the, like, hey, this is for the BMF title. Let's do this. And because Gaethje was swinging in there as well. And that's his game, right? That is old school. That to Michael Cole would be going vintage Justin Gaethje before getting face planted onto the mat. Like, given the circumstances around this, BMF title, UFC 300, and a tremendous, like, performance by Holloway that could have all gone away if Gaethje lands one right to the chin. Because as confident as Holloway is in that chin, if Gaethje hits that button right, it doesn't matter. What, there are cars that he would put away if he hits him right. That, to do that, it's incredible. Like, just the list of all-time knockouts, Ngannou Overeem has to be on there. Barboza Edom, where he just stiffens like a board and falls down. Anderson with the front kick knockout. Machida taking it that extra level with the Karate Kid. And the Rampage Powerbomb. Those are the best knockouts I can think of off the top of my head. Gonzaga on Krokop. Krokop on anyone. Honorable mentioned in there as well. But given the circumstances around this, Holloway moving up in weight for UFC 300, and he's winning this fight and does this anyway, it's movie shit, man. And it's the type of punch that you kind of only see in like a video game or a movie where it catches him just flush and just ruins his whole day with that shot. To do that, when I said he's probably lacking the knockout power to finish this, and I was not, that was not an opinion unique to me. Incredible. He calls for Topuria next. I say give it to him. In the heat of the moment, I was tweeting, this guy could call out John Jones. And I would be like, yeah, no, for sure. Let's figure out a weight and let's do it. Because, like, just coming off of that performance, the man gets what he wants. He gets $600,000 in bonuses for what he was able to do in fight of the night and performance of the night. I think he gets a title fight next. It's tough to go against him right now, given what we just saw. I do think Topuria is another animal, but Topuria looked a little spooked coming out of that performance by Max Holloway. So we'll see what comes of that one. For Gaethje, it sucks. He will likely bounce back from this one and live to fight another day. But I do wonder if title aspirations for Gaethje might be gone coming off of that one. Then it was Zhang Weili against Yan Xiaonan for the Women's Strawweight Championship. And Weili simply won this fight in the first round. She had the choke. The bell sounds. She lets him go. And Yan is clearly unconscious. And then comes back to it. Stumbles to her corner. And they wake her up between rounds, and then she comes out in the second round and gets the shit kicked out of her again. I was so surprised that this fight didn't end in those first two rounds. So I had the very unusual 20-16, but I was like, I feel like this fight should have been stopped in both rounds. Can I just go 20-0? Because it doesn't, like, you lost, so you get 0 points for that round. But, like, incredible showing from Weili early on, and really, really weird. Circumstance around that. And then you have Cormier being like, the corner guy gave her smelling salts in the corner, and that didn't happen. He was just like, I can wake her up a little bit and just a couple of quick whatever's up the nose that got her back up and going. But Yan was able to survive, to her credit. And then she comes out in the third round and they're talking on the desk, and it makes a good point, and it honestly set a bit of drama for this, that her arms might be gassed and there might be an opening for Zhao Nan, and she looked really good in the third round. She came out, looked crisp on the feet, and that was honestly the type of performance I was expecting from her, to be able to come out and really show what she is able to do with fantastic stand-up and maybe a bit of an edge in the stand-up department. I thought that she was going to be able to do that. But then Wei Li responds with a really good fourth and a controlling fifth. She picks up the win, and it was the grappling that was the big surprise to me. Yan's stand-up was impressive on the feet, and it was close, which is what I thought. I didn't think the grappling edge would be so vast for Zhang Wei Li. Given that she created the scrambles to create that chaos against Carla Esparza, we have seen her grapple well before. I just thought with Yan, and this is probably a bit too old school in the analysis, I thought Yan, being a Team Alpha Male fighter, would have a few more answers than that. And it's not a questioning of the skills or the teachings of Yan or Team Alpha Male. This was just what Zhang Wei Li did. An excellent performance by her. Really, really impressive all around. But Yan, with the toughness that she showed and her ability to win a round in there as well, showed how talented she is. So a strong showing for both of them. And if at some point they do this rematch in China, you're not going to get much critique from me. Then we get to the main event of the evening. It is Alex Pereira defending the light heavyweight championship against Jamahal Hill, who never lost it. And Pereira looked like a goddamn superstar. The finish, again, was like out of a movie. He gets kicked in the nuts and is just like, you know what, ref? Don't need him. He comes walking in, left hook slash uppercut type of a thing, hits the nose, sends the eyes rolling back to the head, Hill plummeting to the mat, and then couple coffin nails, and that's all she wrote. That was as badass as you can get in the cage without the name of Max Holloway. Unbelievable performance. The power, they mentioned on the broadcast, that power is scary. He clipped him and sent him to the Shadow Realm. I can't, if he would have hit him like Max Holloway, his jaw would have flown out. A beautiful performance. The confidence he has, the skill that he has, it is all coming together in such a beautifully destructive way for Pereira. For Hill, it sucks, right? Like, he hadn't lost the title. He goes in there against this guy. You wonder if he came back a bit too soon. You hope that he is compensated for providing a great main event for UFC 300. But yeah, it's not great. But this is not down on Jamahal Hill time. This is up on Alex Pereira time, who comes away with an unbelievable showing. And it was clear from the get-go, he didn't respect the power of Hill. Like, he took a couple of shots and he was like, if this was a movie, quick cutaway. It's like an anime that they cut in and just zoom in on half of the face and you get the little weird with where the face is. But either way, you get the this was screwed up entirely. You get the slick smile, like, I've got this. And he comes in, and I'm so sorry for the podcast listeners who don't know what I'm saying, who don't know what I'm doing with my hands and face, and are just hearing me go, the whole time. But you know what I mean, though. They zoom in on half of the face, and then you get this wry smile, and it's like, oh, shit, this is over now. And he just ba-boom, 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 and finishes the show. He makes the call out after for a heavyweight in Brazil at UFC 301, which is like an hour from now. And you know what? Just fucking do it. Just give it to him. Just let him have that championship. Or not that championship. Don't give him a title fight. Don't give him Tom Aspinall in 3 weeks. Don't make Aspinall have to do it in 3 weeks. But if there is a heavyweight who's ready, I don't care. Call me. I'll get my ass kicked by him to help build this guy's star. Like, if there is someone who is a somewhat capable 265-pound fighter who can get in the cage and get their head kicked off by Pereira, just do it. You have a star here. That card needs a bit of intrigue, to be perfectly honest with you. Build off the momentum of all of this and go from there. A chance to win at three weight classes is so incredibly rare. Connor's fought at three weight classes, and as far as I can think of, that's it. I'm sure there's someone else who has at different points throughout their career. Like, what was it, BJ Penn? Oh, he fought Leona Machida at 225 pounds. But, like, it is rarefied air that we are talking about with what he could do with this and build off that momentum. So it's crazy. I just say do it. Doesn't have to be great. It can be Anderson Silva against whatever that dude's name was that he absolutely annihilated in his debut at 205 pounds to counter the Affliction show. Like, it doesn't have to be a ranked guy. Can just be a guy who's willing to go in there and Bobby Green it up for a little bit and see what happens. But I said coming in, the show was the star. And the goal for this one, instead of like what they did at UFC 200 and 100, where you loaded up with star power, this time, the show was the star, and it gave the rub to some of these fighters, and that's 100% what happened. Max Holloway comes out of this a legend. Pereira comes out of this, I think, a superstar. Zhang Weili comes out of this a feared fighter. Armin Sarukian comes out of this as a legitimate championship contender. This fight and this fight card made superstars for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. God, what a night of fights. Beautiful, beautiful night. All right, that's going to do it. Have so much more coverage on this coming up in the next week here on Couch Potato Diary. We'll have a full, like, what does it all mean show coming up on Monday. Maybe a look at the undercard on Tuesday. And on Friday, we will be looking at the fights to make coming out of UFC 300. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I've loved doing these videos all week long. And absolutely, I'm going to be making this stuff a priority. I'm not going to say I forgot how much fun this was. It was just a nice reminder of how damn fun this sport can be. It sucks the next show is in the apex, but getting ready for this was a blast. Talking with all of you this week has been a blast. I have had so much fun. And yeah, we'll talk to you later. Follow me on social media. I'm at Primetime Klein, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. And you can email the show couchpotatodiaries@yahoo.com. Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to all of you later. I am out.